From the moment Trump, the candidate, announced he was running for president, Mexico and Mexicans have been at the receiving end of charged rhetoric and even insults. So we asked John Ackerman to help us understand the complicated relationship between the two countries. Ackerman is a writer and a professor at the UNAM, the National Autonomous University in Mexico City. He's also the editor-in-chief of the Mexican Law Review. And I started off by asking him to give us kind of a broad sense of how people in Mexico are feeling about Trump right now.
There's a diverse array of responses, right? On social networks, I've never seen this before, people are very excited about a boycott. No longer purchasing at Walmart, Starbucks, going to the local market. There have been marches, anti-Trump marches. And in a protest in Baja California a couple weeks ago, some protesters even burned an American flag. This is not something which is typical in Mexico. There hasn't been this kind of anger towards the United States, and that is definitely starting to bubble up.
No compremos nada de empresas norteamericanas. Consumamos lo que nuestro país produce. Es hora de respirar por México y de decirle a Trump.
There's a definite turn towards national symbols. People are changing their WhatsApp avatars and their Twitter avatars to the Mexican flag. There is a real sense of national unity, and that is something we haven't seen for a long time. Mexico has always been a very proud country, but the use of the symbols has not been as typical.
You've actually said something that I found to be kind of extraordinary. You're saying that actually the country that made the greatest contribution towards Trump winning was not Russia. You say it was actually Mexico. What do you mean?
Yes, it is very surprising. One would imagine that the president of a country would defend its people. But in fact, when you look at Enrique Peña Nieto's behavior, he has been supporting Trump from the very start.
Tonight, Donald Trump attempting to show a more presidential side in a last-minute visit with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto.
He brought Trump down and they declared their friendship to each other. It's not like Peña Nieto actually had any influence on the policy. All he did was basically help Trump with his campaign.
Why is he supportive of a Trump?
You know, they share a common ideology. I mean, this is the thing. The idea in the United States is that somehow the Latin American equivalent for Donald Trump is Chavez or Evo Morales, a populist supposedly. But no, in the end, you know, Evo Morales is worried about poor people. He wants to redistribute wealth. Enrique Peña Nieto shares with Trump an emphasis on it's a pro-corporate, neoliberal orientation. For instance, look at Peña Nieto's record over the last 4 years in terms of immigration. Peña Nieto himself is in the process of building his own a wall in the southern border between Mexico and Guatemala. He doesn't care too much about the free movement of people. What Peña Nieto cares about is the free movement of goods and capital. That's all good.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words.
Yeah. Lo he dicho una y otra vez. México no pagará ningún muro.
Let's talk about the wall now. This is a central part of Donald Trump's campaign and perhaps even one of the reasons why he was able to win. Mexico has said, though, continuously that it's not going to pay for the wall, not today, not tomorrow, not ever, though President Trump keeps saying that he's going to find a way to force Mexico into paying. So can, in fact, Trump force Mexico to do this?
So first of all, let's be clear. There already is a wall. You know, a third of the border is covered by fencing and barriers. And so this is more symbolic than anything else, the actual construction of a physical extension of the physical barrier. It is impossible for Mexico to ever pay for that wall, both politically and legally. Politically, because even though Peña Nieto, he would love to pay for that wall if that meant that he would be able to get Trump's favor. But it's not possible because of the reaction of the Mexican people. The Mexican people are forcing Peña Nieto to stick up more or less for Mexico, even though he doesn't want to. And on the other hand, Legally, it's very difficult to actually achieve this. So Trump has floated this various ideas during the campaign. He talked about kidnapping, basically sequestering remittances. He's also talked about a 20% or 35% import taxes. I mean, all these things have legal problems, and they would also, in the end, especially the tax part, leave to the United States consumers paying for the wall.
There is a sense that Mexico might want to retaliate, you know, if Peña Nieto, you know, wanted to kind of be more confrontational, trying to put a stop to Trump or the wall. What could Mexico do, for example, to retaliate?
Mexico is the third largest trading partner for the United States. And so we could put our own tariffs on those. 25 million tourists a year come to Mexico. Visas are free to Mexico these days. There's even radical proposals. For instance, Mexico could simply refuse to enforce patents for, you know, pharmaceuticals or Microsoft in Mexico. This would be a great benefit to the Mexican people, reduce prices drastically for drugs or computer programs, and would cut into profits in the United States. Mexico is the 15th largest economy in the world, a $1 trillion economy. So, you know, this wouldn't be nothing. This would be this could have a significant impact on the United States.
So I'm wondering about the next 4 years, in terms of the fact that Mexico and the United States are intimately tied together, very connected, not only in terms of the proximity of our countries, but culturally, economically, business, trade, tourism, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you think is at stake here in terms of the Trump administration?
Well, you guys know that better than I do, sitting there in the United States. From Mexican perspective, those airport protests, that women's march, is very inspiring to us because we're used to seeing the United States as relatively calm politically, very stable institutionally, and complacent in general, the civil society in the United States. We need to work together once again at the level of civil society. Government officials may help us in some current circumstances, and in others, no. There are 30 million people of Mexican heritage in the United States. Join that with 120 million in Mexico itself. That's a group of 150 million people in North America. It's the largest, quote-unquote, ethnic group in North America. We got to use that power.
John Ackerman, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you very much, Maria. A real pleasure and an honor.
John Ackerman spoke to us from Mexico City, where he's a professor at the National Autonomous University and also the editor-in-chief of the Mexican Law Review.